appreciate it. Let's go to the cell phone holder. Thank you very much, cell phone. Talk to me. Hello, talk to me.
Yes, Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
A lot of what I have to say is Lewis Street had mentioned, but one thing I would like to say to Mr. Miller, while he's still in vacillate between two opinions, we could get the Bible to say whatever we wanted to say, right? But the Word of God doesn't change. When we look at capital punishment as murder, that's why we become emotional. But if we would look at it as the law being mandated by the law of the land, which the Word of God also say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. So Caesar had the right to set up rules and regulation to govern his country. The same way God set up government and give government the power to regulate his people, that is mandated by the Constitution, which is the law given to regulate its citizenry. We need to stop looking at hanging as murder, because it is not. If justice is carried out swift, as the Word of God said, then all this foolishness would not be rambling on today. And this is what happened when people do not want to follow the Word of God. We could do anything, and that's why the country is in the mess it is today.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Let's go to JFK. JFK, thank you very much for calling. Talk to me.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to know if that was your son who committed a lot of murders, right? Would you agree for him to get hanged? Or you'll guess want him slide to the crack? Because I feel if my son go there intentionally kill somebody, if I'm the righteous father, if he's supposed to get hanged, he'll get hanged.
All right, sir.
Because you take a life, you should be able to. If you take somebody's life, somebody should be able to take your own.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Mr. Miller.
I have four kids, and God forbid that any of them should find themselves in this situation. And if they were to find themselves in this situation, I'll allow the law to take its course. But that doesn't mean I'm going to encourage the law to take their lives. I'm not saying I'm against the prison life. What I need to say right here is the prison officials need to treat the prisoners right. If they don't, they're going to give an account to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not because they are criminals. That means you must mistreat them however you want to mistreat them. Because Mr. Brown, who got killed at the prison, his mother is on the record in the Bahama Journal saying that when she last paid a visit to her son, he was in the prison cell from the time he was convicted. That's wrong. There are ways you can hold these men together that they won't misuse the system or hurt anybody. You can put them in straight jackets or whatever to bring them over some sunlight or some fresh air until they show themselves or to handle the situation. God is not operator, ladies and gentlemen. Can you all really understand the depth and the deepness of God's love? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means all of us should be dead. The only thing we are worthy of, ladies and gentlemen, is Woodlawn Garden or whatever funeral graveyard is up there. Ladies and gentlemen, please look at this in the spirit. Please do not look at this in the flesh. Galatians 5 says, if we walk in the spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No Christian or no person on planet should be pushing for the life of someone else to be taken, because it's not going to solve the situation.
But what about a just punishment for the one who has committed the transgression?
Yes, I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with the prison system.
I'm talking about death.
Oh, no. It's out of order. Thou shalt not kill is a broad term. When the Bible says thou shalt not kill, it means what you put into your body, the way you treat people. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you hate a brother, you are a murderer. You don't have to stick him in a knife or shoot him with a bullet. If you hate him, you are a murderer. That's what God says. But here again, the people want to work on emotions and not being led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God.
Let's go to our cell phone holder. Thank you very much. Talk to me.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Lloyd.
Hi, brother.
And do you guess, Mr. Miller?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I 100% agree with Mr. Miller. Simply because, people fail to understand is this. The greater work you do, it's the greater reward that you would get. Now, some people, others are going to be greater. You have weaker people, you're going to have stronger people. Obviously, Mr. Miller, and also you, Mr. Lloyd, are one of the most strongest ones. And you're not going to, and don't feel bad when people don't want to be as strong as you. You don't never feel bad that it's a criticism because they don't want to be as strong as you. It's just simply that they're not as strong as you. So I congratulate both of you gentlemen, and thank you very much.
Yeah, bro. Thank you very much as well. Let's go to Gambia. Thank you very much, Gambia. Never heard from Gambia before. Talk to me, Gambia.
Yes, I trying to put in a point, right? My son, I mean my cousin, right? He got killed by the bar in Gambia, right? He got stabbed, right? And the victim would stab him. He gets caught free out of prison. You think that is right? My cousin done died. And why they can't hang him? Why they caught him free?
If that took place, ma'am, no, that's not right. But here again, we must not get emotional. And before time runs out, I'd like to tell you all, you know, a lot of y'all say, well, you only saying it because it didn't happen to you. Well, let the record be reflected that in 1999, my brother Kendrick Anthony Miller lost his life.
He was murdered?
He was murdered. He ran off from work after he had a hard day's work, and he said, Paul, I'll see you later. The next time I saw my brother, he was laying in the morgue. And you know what the Bible tells me? If they should ever find who do it, I must still love them. As a matter of fact, my Bible tells me I should be the one to go on death row for the two young men that did it. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is not...
You don't feel any vengeance that the state should get them for hanging, for killing your brother?
No, sir. The only thing that makes me feel bad about this situation, these men today are listening who did this, is that they have to first confess what they did wrong. If there's no hope for them, they might be listening today. And until you turn yourself into the authorities and let the law take its course, you're going to be lost. You must surrender to the authorities.
So they have not so far?
No, sir.
And do they know who did it?
No, sir. And if they was to surrender, I'll be the first to go downtown court and let the people know, don't hang these young men. Put them someplace, and I'd like to pay them a visit if they grant my privilege to me to come and visit them, to introduce them to the lovely Jesus. And hopefully, the Lord can work through me to these young men. Who knows, these two young men may be the ones to turn the prison upside down.
Let's go to Robinson Road. Thank you very much for holding Robinson Road. Talk to me. Hi, Robinson. Talk to me. Robinson is not there. Seabreeze is on the line. Talk to me, Seabreeze.
Good day, Brother Lloyd, and good day to your guest, Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I wanted to ask you specifically with the... You said you have four kids.
Yes, sir.
And say that one of them, or the four of them, were taken violently by a criminal. And... You were saying that it's inhumane for the capital punishment, and we're moving away from the science of the Bible and this whole aspect. Let's think about the actuality of paying for imprisoning a man for life in terms of how much are you willing to contribute to supplying and providing the millions of dollars that it takes to run a prison? And if a person is convicted but at the age of 20, for example, and we want to imprison him for the rest of his natural life, how much are we going to contribute or commit to this whole exercise instead of taking and going through and following through with the laws of the land? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
What I'll say to that is, there are a lot of ways a prison can help itself. For an example, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. Put these young men to work. If they don't work, they won't eat. Let them do a trade-off.
But if they don't eat, Paul, you're allowing them to starve.
Right.
If they starve, they'll die.
Well,
but aren't you killing them in the process?
No, sir. They're killing themselves. Because the Bible says if they don't work, they should not eat. But here on the flip side, if you look at it through the eyes of Christ, you will still feed them. And this is why the government still feeds them. See, ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that the Bible speaks. In Psalms 34, verse 7, the Bible is quite clear that the angel of the Lord encamped about me and my family. They were there with my brother too that day. But for some reason, the Lord allowed angels to be removed and for his life to be taken. And what comforts do I get? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The Lord will not put more on me than I can bear. Who am I not to fly in the face of God and say, God, you are out of order? The book of Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 tells me that I should not fear the young man who can meet me home when I go home and shoot me with a gun, but rather I should fear Christ, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 tells me, Christ has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Psalms 119 verse 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, I say, nothing shall offend them.
Does the rest of your family feel the way you do about the loss of your brother?
My father is the only person in the family who is sort of upset about it, and I'm praying that he get the victory, because let the record reflect, if he don't, he'd be lost.
Your brother had a wife?
Yes, he did. He had a wife, and he had three kids.
What about his wife?
But I never talked to his wife about it one-on-one, how she feels about it. As a matter of fact, he was divorced at the time. but his wife that he had, who he's married to, who had the 3 kids. I never talked to her to find out what her feelings are on it, but I know I had a chance to talk to his oldest daughter about it, and I told her, if the day should come, you'll be fine who killed your father, by all means, you must love them. And I could remember breaking down in tears. And I told her, the Bible is quite clear, God will be a father to the fatherless.
Let's go to Carl Haber. Thank you very much, Carl Haber. Talk to me.
Yes, I totally disagree with Mr. Miller. You know, earlier, he tried to use the situation with Jesus when the lady was brought before Jesus, when she was caught under the act of adultery. Now, what has happened, as you read the Bible, you'll see that the Pharisees and them, they had known the scriptures, and they brought her to Jesus, the Bible says, tempting him. But you know something? John chapter 7 spoke about righteous judgment. In order for Jesus to have condemned that woman, the Pharisees then would have had to bring the man also. So therefore, Jesus, he did not send any judgment against her because the woman was only brought. They would have had to bring the woman and the man for judgment to have been sent forth. And that's why I totally disagree with this understanding of the scriptures.
My brother, all I've said to my brother is read the scripture again. And you would not read that Christ said the reason why he didn't condemn her was because they didn't bring the other party. It was because of the love of God. Christ did not order her to be killed.
Got to get to a break, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Lloyd here along with Paul Miller, who is a special guest here today. We're talking about the death penalty. Mr. Miller is opposed to the death penalty and uses his scripture as the support for that opposition. Do you agree? 341-6673. Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. Early it's morning time. This morning it's, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Lloyd in with Paul Miller. Today we're talking about the death penalty. It's a subject that has reverberated in our community over the last several weeks, with a great number of people calling for the resumption of the death penalty, that people should be hung who are convicted murderers. Just clean out that row on Fox Hill Prison. I mean, there's really a whole gang of comments with respect to this. But today on our program, Mr. Paul Miller, who is the founder of the Turning Point Ministries, who is a Seventh-day Adventist, who was an ordained deacon within his church. He's not here to speak on behalf of Seventh-day Adventists, let me say that very clearly, who is a columnist in one of the dailies, is here to share his opinion that the death penalty is wrong and that he can support that contention biblically. We have Peter Street, Carmichael Road, and a cell phone on the line. We go to the cell phone first. Thank you very much. Talk to me, cell phone. Hi, go ahead, please. Cell phone, talk to me. Not there. Let's go to Carmichael Road. Thank you very much, Carmichael Road. Talk to me.
Good morning, Mr. Lloyd, and good morning to your guest, Mr. Miller.
Good morning, sir.
I don't agree with Mr. Miller because I think it is clear biblically that capital punishment and that being put to death for murder, let's say, is a part of God's law. However, I do understand where Mr. Miller is coming from, and I think that someone like him is timely. Because with all the arguments for, you actually do need someone who can actually put the argument against, because we're not really hearing anybody coming up with, well, why you should not. And so I think what he is saying is timely and is needed to even the tempers that are flared at this moment, because people are more emotional right now and are speaking more with emotion than rather sitting down and thinking as to which methods are best to take.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Peter Street. Peter Street is on the line. Thank you very much, Peter Street. Talk to me.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Lloyd, and your guest.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Lloyd, I can't understand it, Mr. Miller. His father right now is still seeking the revenge of his son's debt. He's going from church to church, going from minister to minister, government ministries. He's still trying right now to fight for the folks who would kill his son. And right now, right up to now, he's looking for the death penalty. I don't know if Mr. Miller ever sat down and talked with his father.
But I'm not talking to his dad. I'm talking to Mr. Miller. So what his dad's position is has nothing to do with Mr. Miller. You know, what my wife's position is on capital punishment, death penalty, has nothing to do with me.
Well, yes,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
Okay, thank you.
But what I'm saying, why Mr. Miller cannot sit down and counsel his father?
Well, who says he hasn't? Or doesn't? You know, I mean, because the person retains or insists on his position doesn't mean somebody hasn't talked or hasn't attempted to persuade. You know?
Well, you're quite right.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go. Okay. Thank you very much, Peter Street. Talk to me, Carmichael Road. Carmichael, talk to me.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Mr. Lloyd, I just a little perplexed over the situation reference that the lady that was called in the very act. So like one caller said earlier, it takes two to tangle. Spice love. But I think, you know, why he really let the woman go is because they didn't have the other party there. So, to give it all, I truly believe that if punishment is on the books, I feel that it should be carried out. That's my fear for the day.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. We got to get to some of these faxes. They're piling up here, and I hope I can read as many of them as I could. Let's start right now. Mr. Lloyd, I totally agree with your guest. I'm a Roman Catholic. Our church does not support the death penalty. I agree with my church's teaching in this regard. It is a pity most Catholics do not. Let's stop the jump on the bandwagon crusade. That's Madam or so from Albury. Mr. Lloyd, again, another fax coming in from my friend Renrick. He says, we boast of being a Christian nation, but are we following Christian principles in calling for the death penalty? Are we truly looking to Christ for our example? Cain deserved death, but it was a mercy of God that allowed him to walk the earth and stayed the hands of others from killing him. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 to 15. Did not God also show mercy to King David, who committed both adultery and murder? What of Adam and Eve, who deserved death, yet mercy allowed them to continue in life? The New Testament is filled with examples of mercy, notably the story of Jesus not stoning the woman caught in adultery. Jeff, if we really want to follow the Jewish law on punishing with sin, then let's address all sin, and not only our pet sins. The pulpits in this land are quick to condemn murder and homosexuality, but are strangely silent on adultery, fornication, pornography, theft in the workplace, rebellious children. When we do this, we mock the scriptures because, Mr. Lloyd, our politicians and religious leaders stand guilty of stroking the passions of the people and calling for violence to cure violence. Where are the calls for repentance from the pulpit? Where are the organized mass visits to the prison to witness to those souls in need? Do we stand guilty of the same sins as Sodom? Ezekiel 16:49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy system, Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Are our hearts going to go out to all in need? Are our wayward young men and women who are in dire need of Christ? Others are in need of jobs, clothing? Are we as Bahamians being our brother's keepers? Are our hearts and minds being turned to Christ and not to the wisdom of men? We who claim to follow the Bible should never decide issues on merely emotional basis, as too many leaders are urging us to do. But rather we should search the scriptures for divine instruction. Check out John 5. And Acts 17. Thank you very much, Renrick. Let's go to another fax. I do not know what it is that the people want from the church. On one hand, they say the church is not doing anything. They're sitting silent while all these things are going on. On the other hand, they say the church is imposing on people's rights. The church has an answer. It has to answer to God. And God alone. And no matter how hard they work, people will criticize them. Now, your guest is saying that the church is supposed to do in secret. And for that, they are not following the Bible. I disagree with him. We should have capital punishment, and the church should be the last entity to be silent or do things secretly. People need to start being accountable for their actions to God and keep quiet if they don't understand. Let me see if this is a fax that I should read on the air. Yes, let me read it. Further to today's discussion is a fax. I applaud your guest for his calm, mature tone in sharing his views. I do agree with his views, although many say unless you have experienced the death of a close loved one by murder, people who disagree with hanging should have less to say on the matter. Without taking sides, it's important to look at the basic principle as Mr. Paul quoted. Do not render evil for evil, for vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If we commit to taking the lives of people who kill, what is the difference between us as a collective people and a single murderer? How do we justify taking a life? For justice? For peace of mind? At the end of the day, we still would have taken another person's life, and does it bring the life of our loved ones back? Of course not. Does it really bring peace of mind? Further, what if the person being hung is innocent? You know, Mr. Lloyd, I think the answer lies in revamping the entire prison structure and system. Whether some may agree or not, punishment is being kept in that Her Majesty's prison itself. Because of the mere current state of our prison, with 4 to 6 persons or more being crammed in those hot, smelly, and jam cells. That is punishment itself, and it plays on the minds of those inmates, innocent and all. How can you expect them to be ever be changed people if they're living in those filthy conditions? Thank you very much. Let's go to the phone lines. Thank you very much. It's coming on 21 minutes before 12 o'clock. Paul, you really got him calling today. Let's go to the cell phone. Thank you very much, cell phone holder. Talk to me.
Yes, Jeff. I say good afternoon to you and your guest, and he has my sympathy over the death of his brother. However, I must disagree with him when it concerns the death penalty. If you look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5, when God's speaking to Noah, he said that if a man, he shall demand an accounting for the blood of man, and even by an animal takes the life of a man, he demands an accounting. For in the image of God made he man. Now, if man is still being made in the image of God, then the law, the government, has a responsibility to take the life of man. I was watching a program the other day called The Psychology of a Suicide Bomber. And they interviewed an IRA bomber. And he said that when you kill a man, you must first dehumanize him. You cannot see him as a man, a husband, a brother, or somebody's uncle. You have to dehumanize him. And the Bible, when God says, for an image of God made he man, God is speaking to that very thing. You have to dehumanize the man in order to take his life. God said he requires the shedding of blood by the man who takes the life of another man. Someone may argue, well, why didn't God take the life of Cain? And that's a reasonable question. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 13, where there is no law, sin is not taken into account. So God could not require Cain, God could not execute Cain, separate and apart from law. Your guess, I understand his logic, but he's wrong. The scripture says that you should put a man to death if he frosts and schemes and take another man's life.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. You've said it. Let's go to the another cell phone. Thank you very much, cell phone. Talk to me, cell phone. Not there. Golden Gates is on the line. Let's talk to Golden Gates. Talk to me, Golden Gates.
Yes, Brother Jeff, how you doing?
Excellent.
Yes, I'm listening to your show, and I'm a little perplexed when I hear Mr. Miller talk. I understand his premise when he says God's love, which is true. God does love us, and he wants the best for us. But at the same time, when we look at victims who are violently murdered, raped and murdered, what about the fact that they didn't have a chance to say goodbye to their relatives, goodbye to their sons, their daughters, to their family and friends? They are violently taken off the earth. And let's say, suppose that the guy that actually commits it, or the woman who commits the murder, has a chance and goes before the courts. At least they have a time or a chance to repent of their sins. They have a chance to repent of their sins and make amends. Okay? So I'm having a problem with this whole thing here. These people are violently taken off the earth. What about the victim? What is their compensation? What about their family? I mean, we're showing so much concern for the guys that are actually committing these crimes, but what about the victims? No one seems to care anymore about the victims.
Yes.
Okay? I have a problem with it because it seems that we are appeasing to the criminal element. Okay? Let me show you what happened to appeasement. World War II, Richard Chamberlain, England, listened to Hitler when Hitler said, oh, we won't attack a certain country. And what happened? He did it anyway. It's like when you appease to people that are of a criminal mind, they see that as a form of weakness. Okay? You saw that what happened in the last couple of weeks ago, what happened with the prison officer. They said they're going to keep the criminals in maximum prison. There is no prison that cannot be broken out of. Okay? The only way we can actually be sure or guaranteed that these people are put away is through the death penalty. Okay? It's the law of the land. Let's follow the law of the land. If they don't want the law of the land, let's pass a put up a referendum. Let the people vote.
Okay?
Yeah. We live in a democratic society. Please allow the people in the process of the law to be carried forward, because this is the law of the land.
Appreciate it, brother.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the cell phone. Thank you very much, cell phone holder. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Hello.
Talk to me.
I just want to ask the gentleman a question. I'll hang up, okay? I want to feel security by his house or by his business. And can you explain what happened to Eli family?
Who's Eli?
In the Bible, when the Lord commanded that so much of his family is supposed to be killed because of what they did.
You mean 1 Samuel?
Okay, I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yep. Paul, you have any bars at your house?
No, my bars are the angels of the Lord. I have no bars.
What kind of protector, Mom? When you got set, I know you got an alarm system.
No, sir. The angels of the Lord encamp above my house, and if God seeks to allow angels to be moved, that may my wife life be. So what? I don't care. My thing is, did I die in the Lord? Mr. Lloyd, I live in a crime-infested area, and all young men in my neighbor respect me. They have me like a god. They say, man, I'm a sinner just like you all. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? I just had an incident in my shop last week. A young man stole a tire while I was right at work working on the back street from me. I went to the police station. I went to him. I said, young man, I said, please give me the tire back. Now, when I got the tire back, he said, why you going to lock him up? I said, what is that going to do? Only thing I said to the young man, I said, who's watching? Who's back here? I allowed him to go free. I had a young man came in my store and pointed a gun at one of my friend's head in my shop. When he came with the gun, I said, Lord, don't allow it to happen here. And he tried all he could to shoot that gun won't go off. And when we went to court, I said, Your Honor, I'd like to say something to the young man before I give my testimony. I said, young man, I'm sorry today. I'm here to cause you to go to jail. But I'm hoping that my testimony that I give today, if you should go to jail, would cause you to reflect when you sit the prison wall. The young man walked out court free. Because the prosecutor said, do you want to press the charge? I said, no. He said, what about the young man who pulled the gun? He said, both of us want to drop the charges. The young man walked out of court free. But if I listened to the things that are being printed in the paper, we should have sent him to jail. A few days later, I saw the young man by the chicken shack. I said, do you care to go with me to church? He said, yeah, I'll go to church with you. The next when I went to pick him up, he wasn't there. Love, ladies and gentlemen, love is the answer to all problems. Until we understand the depth and the love and the mercy of Christ, we're going to be in trouble. I don't care if I die. They could kill me tomorrow, I don't care. Only thing my question is, Lord, did I know you? Am I coming up on the right side? Because be assured, if I didn't know him, I'm going to come up on the wrong side. The caller asked earlier, what happened to the victims? Let me tell you, all of the victims, including those that went down in 9/11, had an opportunity to meet the lovely Jesus. If they didn't, at the end of time, they'll have an accusation against this lovely Jesus. They say, you know something, God? You didn't try to reach me. But the Bible is quite clear that every one of them, saved and lost, will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Paul, your daddy is on the telephone line. He has called in, and I would like to engage him for a few minutes. Mr. Miller, you're on the line, sir, and your son is in the studios with me. And I understand that in 1999, you lost one of your sons in a tragic and violent and murderous way. My sympathies to you. Thank you for joining us, and good morning.
Thank you, too, Mr. Lloyd, and thank God for allowing you to have my son on your show this morning. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed his conversation and his views on the scriptures with regards to capital punishment. However, I hold a little different view from him on capital punishment. Like you said earlier, if two people are playing and they get into a brawl with each other and they fight, and one actually accidentally get killed, I can see that one not get being put to death because it was an accident. But for someone to go and brutally kill someone, like they killed my son 6 years ago, I cannot see me nor the state having any sympathy on that person. I'm sorry that I have to differ with my son Paul, but we always have differences on this issue. I am a very loving person. I'm very peaceful. I'm very quiet. I don't go around making problems for nobody. I love everybody, and I wish everyone would have life. But I have lost a son. My wife has lost a son. Paul has lost a brother. My daughters have lost a brother. He was a very loving person, a very kind person, helped everybody, did not do anybody anything wrong. And for someone to have gone to his house and waited for him to come home that evening of October 14, around 6 o'clock in the evening, and kill him, I don't have no sympathy for that person if that person is being put to death by the state of this country. I don't have no sympathy for them. I only pray that God would forgive them and accept them into his kingdom. Mr. Lloyd, I'd like to let you know something. When my son got killed, up until this very moment, I am still investigating the death of my son. I have been to every top agency in this country, the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, the chief of the police, the deputy police commissioner. I went to every top ranking officer in the DEU or CID, whatever you want to call it. I went to every one of them in there. And up to this moment right now, as we speak, minutes to 12, not one of those police officers has ever came to our house and sat down with us and pointed out to us yet what they found about my son's murder. They have not given us any justice whatsoever. In fact, one of the police officers, when I went down there one day, insulted me at his office. I heard everything that he said, and I went into his office. I told him I heard what he had to say. Mr. Lake, when you lose someone that is of yours, that is cut away from you suddenly like that, you can't have sympathy for nobody who have cut or take away your loved one from you like that. If you find them personally and sit down and talk with them and hear their story, you may be able to. But at this moment, I don't have no sympathy. And I pray God that I don't find the person who killed my sons before the police find them. I started to say that on your show. But I'm really serious. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm willing to serve him. But please pray that I don't find the people who killed my son before the police find them.
I appreciate it, Mr. Miller. Thank you very much for your contribution.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Right.
Paul, that's your father.
Well, what I'd like to say to the nation, I want you to pray for my father. Because let me tell you something right now. If my father don't get the victory, he's going to be lost. Someone pray for me, and your prayers was answered. And I'm asking for the whole nation today to pray for my father. Because he must get the victory. And if he don't, based on my scriptures, when I get to heaven, God is going to wipe away the tears in my eyes for my father. And he definitely will be lost. I'm straightforward. I cut no corners. I'm the same way with everybody. And my daddy right now is working on the wrong side. Help him.
Let's get to a break. We're coming back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, whenever you're having these kinds of discussions, you never have enough time. And it seems as if we have these almost every day. I just want to announce right here that tomorrow we have the Reverend Dr. Miles Munro. Will be our special guest for the full 2 hours. And his subject is the national responsibility of men. Get that? The national responsibility of men. It is the contention of Dr. Munro that as go the man, so goes the nation. And obviously take a look around you and see the nation at work before our eyes and ask yourself, how are the men going? It's going to be right here. You certainly would not want to miss that program tomorrow. The Reverend Dr. Miles Munro. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, there will be opportunities tomorrow for you to purchase Dr. Miles's book on men, God's Purpose for Man, right here on Real Talk on More 94 FM. A fact coming in, Mr. Lloyd, I am totally in favor of capital punishment. Makes no sense for the taxpayer to clothe, feed, and shelter criminals who have nothing positive to contribute to society and whose main objective upon release is to resume a life of crime. I believe there are persons in prisons who can be reformed, but a person who takes a life cannot be reformed and should be executed as we would a dog if it viciously attacked someone. Respect for life must be our paramount concern, and someone who kills does not respect life, so they don't need anyone to fight in order to save theirs. Paul, that's someone coming in and who is adamant. Let's put him away. Some similar to the comments we have heard most of the day here on Real Talk. But you insist. You've got 2 minutes, Paul, and you can say whatever you want to say to the nation of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to chat on air once again, but we never know. The Lord may call us both before that time comes. And I want you to people to hear what you have to say to them in these next 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I'd like to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me an opportunity to talk to you today. As I look back on my life, if it wasn't for him, I truly believe I'd be dead. I know this topic is a very sensitive one, but ladies and gentlemen, you must understand, you must put emotions out of it and plead for the Holy Spirit of God, which can work, convict every man of sin. 1 Peter 2 says it lovely, "For even hereunto you and I were called. Christ also was killed for us, leaving you and I an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And I put it to you today, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was here today, would he go to the emergency prison and hang our brothers and sisters on death row because of what they did? And based on my understanding of the love and the death of Jesus Christ, I think the answer would be no. So once again, I'd like to thank the More FM team, Mr. Lloyd, and Mr. and Mrs. Hope, for giving me the opportunity to come to speak to you today, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made it all possible, who died for the sins of the world. Thank you.
Nothing so far you have heard today, Paul, persuades you otherwise.
No, sir. Because when I think about the cross of Christ, if it wasn't for the cross, where would Paul be? I would be dead. If it wasn't for the cross of Christ, as a matter of fact, all of us would be dead. Because Adam and Eve, the moment they eat that fruit, the penalty for what they did was sin. It wasn't, think about it, it was supposed to be goodbye to life for Adam and Eve. And there go the lovely Jesus like he always did, always does. He stepped right in and saved Adam and Eve. And the record reflects that in that day Christ came down to the garden. After forgiving them for what they did, he clothed them with a robe of righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, he'll be prepared to do the same thing for you today. Ready to be behind prison walls, in the office, on the beach, wherever you are today. If you allow this love to penetrate your heart deep to the core, I assure you he too will cover you with the robe of his righteousness. Because he does not put it on you if you want to continue in sin. And by way of young men are listening to prison today or young ladies, I say to you, seek the Lord while he may be found. Because in a little while he will not be around. And whatever the situation may be, God forbid that they should cause you to lose your life. Be assured that those who kill you, say like Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin against their charge.
Appreciate it, Mr. Miller. I really do. Thank you very much for your contribution to our discussion today. As a number of the faxes have come in, you have helped us in a great number of ways, in a very profound way, I should say, to advance the discussion. Whether they agree with you or disagree with you, as a number of callers said, I understand where he's coming from. And I thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsors today, Nutrition for Life, BTC, John Shea Meat Mart, Costrite Warehouse, Your Friendly Pharmacy, Courtesy Supermarket, McCartney's Pharmacy, KFC, Burger King, Indigo, Old Town Marine and Gas Station at Sandyport, Quiznos, and the Bahamas Electricity Corporation. This coming Wednesday, that's tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the 1st of February, the Reverend Dr. Miles Monroe is going to be our special guest. His subject, the national responsibility of men. The national responsibility of men. You will not want to miss that subject. As a matter of fact, you want to now put your coppers aside and purchase a copy of tomorrow's tape. It will be awesome, outstanding, powerful. And this is particularly dedicated to men because we have had so many comments about the role and responsibility of men and the fact that they're absent from the home and absent from the lives of their children that is causing so much of the disconnect and the marginalization, alienation, and frustration in our societies today. But gentlemen, Mr. Monroe will be here, Pastor Monroe will be here to tell you what God's Word calls as man's responsibility tomorrow beginning at 10 o'clock right here on Real Talk Live on More 94 FM. You'll have also an opportunity to come by and purchase copies of his books. He will autograph them, especially for you right here. The purpose, role and purpose, and understanding that the responsibility and purpose of men right here on Real Talk. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks, Angel, for being a super-duper producer as always. Good afternoon.
The preceding program is a presentation of J01 Productions Limited of the More FM Radio Network.